Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. We always taught our children that having the last word in a discussion or an argument, or if you will, an intense moment of close fellowship, doesn't mean they've won. It generally means they lost. There is, honey, it seems there's something inherent in our human nature that makes us want to prove that we're right, whether we are or not. I think it's called the flesh.
That's right.
Our carnal nature.
In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 in God's Word translation, it says, because you're still influenced by your corrupt nature, when you are jealous and quarrel among yourselves, aren't you influenced by your corrupt nature and living by human standards?
That's why we want whomever we're talking to know that we're right and they're wrong. Heaven help the person we're talking to. If they don't follow our instructions or if you will, our advice, and they make a costly mistake as a result, rubbing our wisdom in their ignorance can become a favorite pastime.
Galatians 5, verse 16 in the New Century Version, talking about the spirit and human nature. So I tell you, live by following the spirit, then you will not do what your sinful selves want. As we were reading Proverbs 17, verse 9 in the New International Version this morning, it stirred in our spirits. And this is what it says. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
If we let go of another's mistakes, errors in judgments, faults, or whatever you call it, you've done a scriptural thing, even a godly thing. Now, I'm not saying that matters of correction shouldn't be discussed, but I am saying that harping on them will separate friends and loved ones. In fact, it will diminish the wisdom and effectiveness that we can have in a person's life.
The contemporary English version of Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, you will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong.
One other thing. If a friend or loved one of yours did something really dumb or embarrassing, stop bringing it up, especially in front of others. They may laugh as you recount the story, but it would only be a self-defensive mechanism. It seems that the favorite pastime of game show reality shows is to show how stupid people can be. Some people will do anything to appear on TV. But what do you think it does to someone on the inside who's totally humiliated in front of millions of viewers? Even though the Jerry Springer show is no longer on television, but help us, he's about to have a new show called Judge Jerry. Really. But that show of his spawned a series of shows which created a cultural mindset of bringing out the worst in the, well, in an already sinful nature. These shows set a deadly precedent, if you will, in hurting people and basically showing that it's all right to do so. It's a dangerous game that's become all too commonplace. Do you like to be reminded of the dumb mistakes you've made? Do you want everyone laughing about your lapses in common sense? Of course not. If it's not fun for you, why should we think it'd be any more humorous for someone else? No one likes being the butt of a joke.
That's so true. And you know, honey, it seems like when public figures are talked about, particularly political, it seems like the very worst thing they've ever done seems to be the thing that's always brought up. You know, This sure. can also be especially true when it comes to spouses and financial decisions. And how many times have people heard things like, if you hadn't bought that new truck, we wouldn't be in this financial mess. Or if you hadn't gone overboard buying Christmas gifts for every single member of your family, we'd have been able to pay this bill off. Or I told you we couldn't afford this, but no, you didn't listen. Won't you ever learn buying the kids everything they want will not buy you their love? If you've gotten that raise like you said you were gonna, if you'd have put in for that promotion like I told you, we wouldn't be having this problem right now. You know, the most dangerous, one of the more dangerous games that spouses can play is the blame game. Oh, it can't be my fault. It must be yours. But you know, we got to realize that when we get married, we become one flesh with our spouse. And if we're putting our spouse down, then really, we're just putting ourselves down. Genesis 2:24, if we believe the word of God, this is what it says. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we need to make no mistake about it. There are spiritual consequences when we embarrass our spouse, when we speak down to them or abuse them verbally. We are, in fact, harming ourselves. In Ephesians 5, verses 29 through 33, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 29 through 33 in the Message Bible, it kind of sums up a relationship between husband and wife. It says, no one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to bring honor her husband.
You know, honey, and you'll remember him. I had a friend, but truthfully, probably more of an acquaintance, a smart man, a gifted man, who continually put down his wife in front of other people. She'd just take it, even though she was as smart, if not smarter, than he was. What he didn't realize is that by putting her down in front of others, he was actually lowering other people's opinions of him, not her.
That's so true.
I mentioned this to him once, and he didn't take it too well. That's why he's just an acquaintance instead of a very good friend. By mentioning this unflattering behavior habit to him, I did what was right in God's sight, because I warned him of something that would hurt him. How he responded to my observation is between him and God. But truthfully, it's just not enjoyable to be around him anymore. Here's the bottom line of this teaching. We will never increase our own value, importance, or self-worth by continually reminding someone else of their faults, even if they've made some ignorant mistakes.
Let's look at Proverbs 17, verse 9 again, this time in the New Living Translation. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends.
What's the one thing you and I should desire above all others? For the love of God to prosper in and through our lives and everybody we know. The scripture doesn't tell us to put people down every day. On the contrary, listen to Hebrews 3:13.
Hebrews 3, verse 13 in the New International Version says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Did you catch that part? Encourage one another daily. We're to lift people up every day, not put them down. How do we change behavior patterns? Here are seven keys. First, embrace 2 Peter 1:4, in the New Living Translation. It says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that made you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. How do we share this divine nature and escape the corruption caused by human desires? Seven words. You can probably guess. Read your Bible.
Do what it says.
That's it.
Second, just stop watching or listening to television or internet programs or even the radio, which deal with foolishness, sinfulness, and stupidity of human nature. We are called by the Word of God to focus on the pure, the positive, and the powerful from His Word.
Third, make a determined effort to make Hebrews 13:3-13 yours by encouraging at least one person every day. Could be somebody on the job or even a person you meet in the restaurant. Yesterday, I opened a restaurant door for two ladies. One of them, as she walked by, told me I had beautiful eyes. I'm thankful she noticed that Jesus in me.
Amen. Fourth, if you realize you're holding resentments or you know you have offense in your heart, ask God to help you to loose them and let them go, never to return. We need to be like Jesus and then forgive people and forget. And believe me, it's really for your own benefit.
Fifth, if you're married, practice edifying your spouse and never, ever put them down in front of other people. And frankly, this is also true of your children and grandchildren. Make sure you don't adopt or give life to any harmful nicknames.
Sixth, praise God that Galatians 5:24 in the Classic Amplified is becoming rhema in your life. And this is what it says. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires.
Wow. And the seventh way to change your behavior pattern, is to get a copy of The Spiritual Entrepreneur, a 21-day information system for success. This powerful book will teach you how to change your perspective, habits, and destiny. And this is a great weekend to get it.
Yes, it is.
It's normally $35, but it's on sale. Hallelujah. For $9.99 plus shipping and handling. I think it comes out to like, I forgot.
I don't know, but it's very, very reasonable.
$12.50 or $14.50 something.
That's it.
That book is one of the most powerful books God's ever allowed me to write. It's a mix of the scriptural and the practical. It's life-changing.
Yeah, and that's an incredible price. You ought to get it for everybody you know. I mean, kids and stuff like that. If they'll read that, it'll change your lives. I thought about summing up, too, the things that we were talking about today about having the last word or, you know, in relationships. And I'm reminded, and I'm going to run us a little long, but I'm sorry. I'm reminded of, we've always gotten, our dogs from rescue. And, you know, that's a, clear way of showing human nature. It mirrors human nature. Because when you get a dog from rescue and they can't, you know, they're skittish and they won't come near you and they just kind of have little quirky behavioral patterns. And then as you start loving them and treating them the way that they should be treated with respect, they start coming out and you start realizing that you have a happy little guy on your hands, you know, instead of a skittish and scared dog. That's the way that happens in human nature when you start treating people the way they should be treated, with love and respect. And it's just kind of a mirror of showing what can happen when you treat people the way they should be treated.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, so we'll see. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video. Check out all the specials that we've got during Cyber Week on the website. Till tomorrow morning at 8:30. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.